Good morning, this is Palm Sunday. Welcome to our virtual worship of the Well congregation. We are just one in Christ, even though we're in different locations, and I hope you are staying safe, enjoying the beauty of the weather we've had recently, and keeping each in prayer, focusing again on those small things that we have that mean so much to us. And I'm just grateful that we can come this way together. Just a couple announcements before we begin our worship. This coming Thursday, for this is Holy Week, is Maundy Thursday. I will have Gail send out a video link to the Stations of the Cross by noon on Maundy Thursday so that we can at least sometime together focus from wherever we are on the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. So that'll be mailed out by noon on Thursday. This coming week, of course, is the resurrection of our Lord, Easter. There will be a service with music. That's our intention. That'll be posted on the website. Also, we will have a flowering of the cross. And several people have had great ideas that have made this just a wonderful thing. I will take the old, rugged, ugly cross out to our church location on Friday evening, and I'll take a picture of it, barren and ugly, and that will be emailed to the email list that Gail sends out to. If you're not on that list, let me know, or let Gail know, we'll put you on that list. That picture will be emailed out to everyone. And then what we'd like you to do on Sunday, anytime Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, or whatever works for you, go out and put your own flowers on the cross. If you wear gloves, if you're not comfortable with that, if someone's there when you arrive, just wait in your car until they're finished flowering. But we'd ask each one of you, after you flower it, to take a picture of it and then do a reply all to that same email, the first email, and therefore we'll sort of be able to see it flowering as it goes. And then on Monday morning, I'll go out and take a final picture of the flowered cross, and that will be sent to all. I want to let you know that the communion cups that I've ordered, I thought should be in by this week. They have not, so I'll keep you abreast on that. Several of you have indicated you'd like me to bring communion to you and maintain the safe distance from your porch. And I'll do that. I'll let you know when it is. Again, thank you for all those that are sending in your tithes and offerings so that we can continue our ministry. And several have asked for me to state again the post office box, which is P.O. Box 2565. The prayer list will be emailed to you, and you either have had that for today or you will. If you need anything, as always, call me. I'm out and about. Probably more than maybe I should, but I'm staying a little closer to home. But I'm maintaining safe practices. But if you need anything, I won't come in, but I'll deliver them, whatever you might need, to your house. Let us go into this time of worship, as always, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The psalm that we'll use for our call to worship, and I will read the entirety of the psalm on the faint feedback I've received. I will read the entire psalm. It'll also be what the homily of the morning will come from. But it's Psalm 118, beginning in verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come together as one. We thank you that our unity is not contingent upon us being in the same place. Our unity is because of being in you. Our unity is not accomplished when we are physically together. Our unity was accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross, when he tore down every dividing wall and in his own body unified us. For we come to you only through Christ, and we relate to each other only through Christ. And we thank you for the omnipresence of the triune God. We know that wherever you are, we are. And as you are with each of us, so in a real sense, we are with the entirety of the church, with our congregation, with Christians around the world, with Christians that have gone on to glory, with the heavenly host, with angels on high. We're not alone. We are in Christ. We are baptized with one baptism. So we thank you for that. And we thank you that you have comforted us and strengthened us by your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will protect those that are ministering during this time. Be with all those first responders and doctors and nurses and all of those that have just essential roles in helping other people. Put a hedge of protection around them, uphold them, and strengthen them. We just pray for those of us who are resting and seeking to find sanctuary in our homes. May we just see that not as a prison sentence, but as a real positive act to stay put until this disease runs its course. We also pray that as the God of all things, that the forgiveness and healing of our sicknesses that were purchased at the cross, that you will bring this pandemic to a close. We just pray that you will hear our cries, the cries of your people, and we trust that you will bring this to an end. And we pray knowing that you will, as you've promised, walk with us until that end. For we are your children, and you are our Father. And through the finished work of Jesus Christ that transformed us from darkness into light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I have my palm. Hopefully you have yours. I saw something on the internet that said it'll be a good witness on Sunday. Today you could place this somewhere in a window or on your door, and it'll just be our reminder that we are in Christ one. Before we begin the sermon together, I'd ask you to turn back to the 118th Psalm. We will be looking at that, and then we'll close together with a prayer after we do the Apostles' Creed. Palm Sunday is really, if you think about it, the true Thanksgiving for Christians. If you've ever been to a stadium and someone started a cheer, the wave or a repetition cheer, you know that the whole crowd gets into it and the excitement is there. And Psalm 118 is like that. There's a new king in town is what's being cried out. And the king himself calls us to do it. If you look in, not a part of the lectionary reading, but if you look at Psalm 118 verses 10, it says, all nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. And we see the king himself calling the people to praise and thanksgiving. If you look at the very first verse and the very last verse, you'll see that the king is calling the people to praise and give thanks. Look in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. You look at the last verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And between those two bookends, there's a movement we see between a victorious event that the king has helped the, or God has helped the king go through. So there's this victorious event, and then there's this procession to the sanctuary. And when they get to the sanctuary, the psalmist cries out that there are two reasons that we need to praise God. There are two things that we need to do. The first thing is praise. We need to praise God for who he is. We need to praise him that he is God and he is good. We praise him quite apart from any of his relations to us, just in his own nature. God is good. One of my favorite hymns, and we sing it often, I won't attempt to sing it, but I will read it, is from an old Scottish pastor. And he wrote this reflecting upon the scripture that speaks of the glory of the Lord. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. We praise God for who he is, quite apart from any benefit we receive. But there's not only praise. The psalmist calls us to also give thanksgiving. Praise is what we give to God for who he is, in himself, his intrinsic goodness. Thanksgiving is what we give to God for what he has done for us, his gracious love, that chesed, that covenantal love that he has showered upon us. We thank him not only for who he is, which is praise, but in thanksgiving for what he's done. Look with me as the psalmist gives a catalog of all the things that God has done. The first thing is God delivered him. Verse 5, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. Verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. He has delivered us. It also says he has supported us. Verse 7, the Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. He has delivered us, he has supported us, and probably the most sweet, he has forgiven us. Look in verse 18. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. We know from the teaching of scripture that the wages of sin is death, but God has shown mercy to us. There's so much the Lord has done for us. He's delivered us, supported us, and forgiven us. I want you to stop now. Just take a moment, and I want you to think back to something in the past, not what we're going through now. I want you to think back to something in the past where you truly thought it was an impossible situation. I want you to think back to a time where the psalmist said, we just read, that your troubles and what you were going through, you just felt like a swarm of bees had descended upon your head and there was nothing you could do. Maybe it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it was a job loss. Maybe it was a relationship change or a health issue. I want you to think back right now to a time where you thought you were in an impossible situation. Now let me ask you, did you make it through? You thought at the time that it was impossible, but because of the goodness of the Lord, because of his faithfulness to you, because of his intervention in our lives, we have so much to be thankful for. And how does he do that? How does he do it? He comes to us in the name and the power and the work of Jesus Christ. See, God just doesn't send good wishes toward us. He doesn't just have good intentions toward us. Our well-being is so important. And as I say that, I realize how inadequate those words are. But our well-being is so essential to God's love and his covenantal care for us that he not only had good intentions, he sent himself in the form of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that what we see has some very familiar passages that we know, but we bring them together in this context. We know so well verse 24. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The psalmist is not just saying any old day. Now, we declare that every day because every day we focus on that day. But that day that he's talking about is one day in particular. It was that day in which Jesus Christ made our well-being a reality. We know that on the night of Jesus' betrayal, as they were having the Passover meal together, we read in the Gospels that they left singing. And we know from Jewish tradition what they were singing. They were singing the Hallel songs, Psalms, which are Psalms 113 through Psalm 118. So I want you to get with me this image that Jesus Christ has just celebrated time with his disciples. He has washed their feet, which we read about in John 13, including the feet of the one who would betray him. He's washed their feet. He gave them that wonderful discourse in John 14 about not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's shared a table with them. He's had the high priestly prayer. And now they leave and they're singing. And they're singing these psalms. And one of the things Jesus Christ sang on his way to a terrible death for us, he sang, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Now, because he sung that, we can sing in verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We sing that, I hope, daily. We sing it when we gather for corporate worship, which we'll be able to do again soon. Right before that meeting and receiving of Jesus Christ in all his bodily form at the table, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That is our hope. And we can sing and we can praise and we can wave our palm branches. And also, there are two other things I want to say we can do. In verse 6, we see, because of this goodness of God manifested to us, we don't need to fear. It says in verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Let me put in, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can things going on around me do to me? The Lord is on my side. I shall not fear. What will a pandemic do to me?" Now, I'm not naive. I understand that people are truly losing their lives through this situation. But I'm also charged to call us to remember that even in that, as Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." None of us want to die, but we have that sure confidence that when we do, it's not a step down. It's a step up. It's a graduation to a form of a knowledge of Christ that we have no earthly idea what it's about. We have no need to fear. And because of that, we also have a sure hope. We don't have a wish. We don't have a faint hope. We have a sure hope. We see it in verse 8 and 9. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I've been thinking a bit about, as everyone has, about the timing of the quarantine and other things. And And it struck me in a way, I thought of Jesus's discussion about paying taxes. And when he said, render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, and render unto God those things which are God. And I think that allows us to understand that a balanced or middle approach is the best place to be right now. I do believe, as citizens of our country, that we must render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's. So when quarantines are given, I think that we must obey by that. But we're not to render unto Caesar's that which is God's. So we can obey the quarantine, but we must, in the midst of that, remember that we have to render unto God what is God's. And what we must render to him is trust. We obey what our government officials and leaders, out of wisdom and prudence, are calling us to do. But they're not our hope. Our hope is in the Lord. We appreciate the means in which God uses, using very human means and wisdom of leaders and nurses and doctors. We appreciate that. But at the end of the day, our hope is rendered only unto the one of, who deserves our hope. Our sure foundation is due to God only. I was thinking of another passage in my recent devotions. It was a story about Jesus falling asleep after a very tiring day in the boat. You remember the story in the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are just petrified because there is a storm going with winds and waves. If you've ever been to the ocean, you know that even on a gentle day, waves are quite loud. The ocean can be extremely loud. One of the reasons why going to the beach and reading is not really an appealing thing to me, because it's hard to read when it's so noisy and windy and sand. And anyway, you can tell I'm more of a mountain man than a beach person. But waves are loud. Wind can be loud. The cry out of disciples trying to work the masts and the riggings, that would be loud. And I want you to remember, Jesus Christ was asleep. He didn't hear the loud waves. He didn't hear the roaring wind. He didn't hear the men crying out and working the riggings. But he did hear the disciples. When they came to him, he heard their cry. And I want us to know that God hears our crying out. He hears our prayers. He's in tune with us. We are not alone. Even if you're like me and you're in a house by yourself, you are not alone, for he hears us. Let me close with another distinction. In our society, when things go our way, we shout, hooray! And one day when this pandemic is over and we can go about our way again, unfettered in the way we'd like to, we're going to shout, hooray! But until then, in God's economy, we don't shout hooray, we shout Hosanna. Hosanna. God save us. Our hope and our confidence is resting not in anything we see left or right, but only that which we see as we look above. And we see a Christ who loves us and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding and caring for us. Amen. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life eternal, immortal. Amen. God bless you. I love you all. If you have any questions or any comments or just need to talk or to have a prayer over the phone, whatever you might need, just give me a call. God bless you. We'll see you next week.